Welcome to the Jones Zone, a podcast by Daryl and JJ Jones, your resource for building wealth and knowledge in everything real estate. Your host, Daryl Jones, a top Orange County real estate agent, has been supporting homeowners for over 30 years. He is here to share his tips and advice, as well as insights from industry experts, to help you take your real estate game to the next level. Now, here's your host, Daryl Jones.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Jones Zone. I'm Daryl Jones with the Daryl and JJ Jones real estate team. And today we've got a landscape designer. Helen Asuncion is a landscape designer. And my wife actually met her a few years ago and she said, hey, you really need to have her on your show. She's really, really terrific. So Helen, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Daryl.
Oh, you're welcome. So tell us, what is a landscape designer?
A landscape designer is someone who comes in and helps you turn your outdoor space into a space that you and your family can actually enjoy. That's pretty much it.
So you basically, you'll interview them. Well, tell me the process when you meet with a, you can pretend that I'm a client and mm-hmm. I've got a backyard. What happens?
So typically I like to come in before anything's been done. Sometimes by the time they've called me in, they've already put in concrete or artificial grass. So that makes it a little bit trickier. But in general, I will come in and we'll do the walk. We'll walk around the site. The client will tell me what they're looking for, some of the issues they've been finding. And mostly it's kind of like a discovery process. I'll ask them about their family, how many children, you know, are there other family members or friends who come and use the space? What do they like to do when they're outside? And from there, you know, I'll sort of start getting ideas.
And then you bounce those ideas off them and voila. What's a typical project? I don't know if there's even such a thing as a typical project, but what's the length of time when they meet with you until it's complete? How long does that take?
Generally, it's about 2 to 3 months. If it's something very simple, and sometimes I show up and the client already has a design in mind and they just need me to help them put it on paper and kind of spot check it. In which case, we can probably get going right away and have something done in a month.
And then do you have access to everybody that can do anything from artificial turf to bricks to flooring, etc.?
Yes, and that's my favorite part of the job. It's that I go in person and I vet my contractor partners. I watch them work. And as soon as I park my car and step out of my car and walk up to the site, I can already tell how the crew is. You know, the way they're moving, the way they take their break, it already gives me a great idea of what kind of crew I'm working with, although I usually vet the foreman over the phone beforehand.
Okay. And do people typically have a foreman or do you provide the foreman?
The foreman come with the crews that I bring in.
Okay.
I have licensed contractor partners, and then I also have crews that work for other contractors. And I can bring in, depending on what the project needs, I can bring in either.
Oh, awesome. Share some insights on the latest landscaping trends, especially in the post-pandemic area. Tell us your insights.
The biggest trend post-pandemic is the opposite of what we saw during the pandemic, which really brought that construction boom. High interest rates priced a lot of homeowners out of their projects. Something that used to cost around $6,000, now you're looking at closer to $9,000 or $10,000. So for a lot of homeowners, it makes the project cost prohibitive. In addition to that, it rained so much last winter and it's been so hot in the summers that less people are spending nice weather days at home. They want to go out and enjoy the world. So all in all, a lot of homeowners are finding it easier to just wait on the major improvements and do the best they can with their space.
And so you had a big uptick, I'm guessing, then during the pandemic.
Oh, my goodness. It was like surfing during a tsunami. You know what? That's probably a bad metaphor.
I thought it was pretty good.
It's a disaster, but we were riding the wave. We were so busy. During the peak of the pandemic, we took Christmas Day and New Year's Day off and worked right up to those holidays and right after.
You sound like a realtor. Well, but that's what you have to do. I know it's my brother. Who would have guessed what happened after the pandemic? What that caused, let's say, in terms of certain things going exploding, businesses such as your own landscaping. My brother works at a nursery, a grower down in Fallbrook, and he grows mm-hmm. ground cover. And gosh, we were thinking when that pandemic hit, you know, all the businesses were going to go down, et cetera. His doubled as well. I mean, he was just so busy. And I guess it was, in hindsight, people spending so much time at home. I mean, this isn't really brilliant to say, but they're spending so much time at home, they wanted to make that home just as perfect as they can and as nice as they can, and voila.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow. So it's a little bit slower now. So yes. So many people consider buying homes that need landscaping. What do you have any advice for those folks? What advice for them?
If the only problem is that the grass is all dead, then yes, by all means, buy the home, move forward. It's a relatively easy fix, even though it looks kind of scary. But if the landscape needs major improvements to make the space usable for you or your family, then my advice is to sit down and calculate all the costs before purchasing. I encounter a lot of sticker shock from new homeowners who think that they've gotten a deal by purchasing fixer-uppers. And of course, I'm pretty sure you know, when push comes to shove, they end up spending way more.
Yeah, no, it can get expensive. You know, it's funny, I don't know why I'm reminded of once with this house I sold, and it had this embankment in the back, a hill. And normally that's not necessarily anything that's desirable for buyers. And boy, my seller was just loved a garden. And she turned that potentially perceived negative into one of the most beautiful views I've ever seen. It was just mm-hmm. gorgeous, just because of the landscaping on that hill. It went from an eyesore to a huge benefit. It was as though you had a view in your backyard now. So, I mean, your work can just do wonders to things that normally wouldn't be desirable.
Daryl, you've pretty much hit on the only time when I recommend that homeowners purchase a home with one of those big slopes, is if you love to garden or if you want to try.
Yeah, you have to build little stairways up to the thing. Well, whatever. That's stuff that you can cover here. You mentioned the importance of shade. Could you elaborate on your number one recommendation for... Oh, I think that we talked about that before. I don't know if you have a number one, but tell us one of your primary recommendations.
Oh, absolutely. My number one, especially like I mentioned, with budgets not stretching quite as far as they used to, is shade. Summers are getting brutal. We did a drought-tolerant conversion in Riverside this past summer, and my feet were on fire in my work boots. I've never had them hurt so bad before. None of the crew were complaining, and they don't complain. They were just giving it their all. So, of course, me, I'm only complaining in my head. But we actually had to take a day off in the middle of the job. We had to call it quits and send everybody home. It was just
too hot.
Way too hot. Yeah. And strangely enough, it rained at the end of that week.
Oh, interesting. You know, and you said, was that a desert landscape that you're doing there?
Yes, we did a drought-tolerant conversion. Those are also really popular right now.
Yeah, I've noticed that. They are really cool looking. I was actually saw a house once that this guy had his entire house monitored by the computer and the plants. I mean, he was really organized. He had his plants. He had something that measured the dew in the air, I think, in terms of knowing exactly how to water each plant and drip system, etc. And boy, that was just really extravagant. He's on a computer. I'm sure that's probably not normal, but it sounds as though you might be a little familiar with that type of
situation. It sounds like he got so excited about all the money he saved doing the drought-tolerant conversion and spent a little on electronic goodies.
That makes sense.
I just stick my finger in the dirt by the plant.
So what are some of the common... Okay, let's talk about artificial grass. It seems to be a popular thing right now. I know we installed some artificial grass. What are some of the common issues with artificial grass? How can homeowners address them?
Okay, the biggest issue with artificial grass is that it can melt in the heat.
Oh.
You know, this happens especially in those new build developments where you have rows and rows of homes and windows and they all bounce heat and light off each other. Especially you've got white stucco walls, white vinyl fences, white aluminum pergolas, and it generates a lot of heat. And we're talking about plastic blades on a plastic backing. It's a multi-million dollar technology plastic, but it's still plastic. I had one installation in Whittier where the turf melted 2 hours after the crew packed up and went home.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just one of the many, many, many windows down that whole line of new build.
You know, I know what you're saying, because I've been in my backyard before, and I'll be standing there, all of a sudden my leg will start hurting. I'm thinking, what if it feels like it's burning? And it's the reflection from the window onto my leg. And it usually happens within seconds. So it is pretty dang hot, huh?
Yes. So that reflection actually kills real grass too. So back in the day before people started the kill your lawn movement, we could show up and see where that would happen. Because we'd see a path or a track. There's two parallel tracks that the homeowner may not notice, but it's a telltale sign. So we could warn the homeowner, hey, you're going to need to get some protective screens or some film protector over the window.
What is the solution? So there's some screens that you can have on, put on your windows?
It depends on the window. For some of the double pane windows, the film will intensify the effect. So then you need a window screen that actually presents like it's dark.
Mm.
So that doesn't look the best either. So I always suggest that before you get the artificial grass, you consult with a window company and explore the options.
And what the option, they could put a tinted window or any ideas on that, or we got to ask a window company.
The window company would be your best bet. Nowadays, I try to only put artificial grass where there's already shade.
Got it. Yeah, that makes sense.
Especially with the extreme heat we've been getting, people don't even want to sit on it or play on it or stand on it when it's hot.
So what about vinyl fences? Concrete and vinyl fences get quite hot also. Any tips for homeowners to mitigate this issue?
So all of that, concrete, vinyl fences, the pergolas being, I like wood for the pergolas, but it takes a little more maintenance. They all increase the heat in the area by at least 30 degrees.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot. I like to say that even if I'm driving down the street of a neighborhood, if more than four houses have artificial grass on their front yard, I feel like that street is hotter.
I did not know that.
Because we're all at the cumulative effect. One of the nicest ways to kind of counter that effect is to plant against a vinyl fence or a concrete wall. But then again, that's more stress on the plant. It can burn the plant because you have the reflection. So mulch is a must. You're going to have to water more frequently and just really keep an eye on that. Maybe even start out with more mature plants during the cool season. Water them well and they'll be a little more resistant to the heat.
Good information. So now, concrete is prone to cracking. Any steps you can take to minimize any sort of cracking or longevity of having concrete in your yard?
So no legitimate concrete contractor is going to warranty you against cracking, especially if there are fault lines around your home or if your home is on a slope. So when you get concrete, there should be a recommended PSI, and your contractor should tell you if they're going to use wire mesh or metal rebar to help stabilize the movement. And that's where I really rely on my concrete contractors.
And you can basically, I know I had a plumber on once and he was talking about copper piping. And I said, you know, copper piping seems to be failing for a lot of people these days. And I said, well, you know, I thought copper plumbing was the gold standard. What's going on? He goes, well, there's a couple of different sizes. Really, it was the thickness of the copper piping. So my point being is it's the same as the cement in terms of if you have the wire mesh or the
rebar.
The mm-hmm. rebar. The rebar being the most, it's just bionic, right? It's super strong.
So the rebar is better for thicker concrete installations. So it depends on how, you know, whether you're going 3 inches, 5 inches, 12 inches thick. And then also it depends on the grade of the surface. You know, if there's a slope or if it's perfectly flat, you know, where the concrete is going and what it's going to be used for.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, pavers, of course, that would kind of eliminate. I've seen a lot of my clients have pavers. Not only does it look fantastic oftentimes, that it kind of eliminates your issue with cracks, obviously. No? Or
Pavers can still crack, but they're more easily replaced.
Yeah.
Yes. So okay. Pavers are a great choice. I love pavers. Most of them are made nowadays from concrete. So you will still have that same issue of sun reflection and heat generation. But the shapes are broken up into smaller ones, and there's polymeric sand in between. So I feel that that does bring down the heat factor.
And it gives you some flexibility, though, in movement, soil movement. Because, I mean, you know, when selling houses, there's oftentimes cracks. In fact, there's almost impossible to find a house that doesn't have a crack, some sort of crack in the cement. But and pavers would have far fewer cracks, I'm guessing, than, let's say, a flat cement patio.
It's definitely going to bother you less, even if they do crack, versus concrete. And I have definitely come to homes where the homeowner, it's usually the wife, of course. it's like, we just had this concrete installed and there's already cracks. And she can show me every single one.
Yeah, I bet it pops out like a sore thumb, especially when you get a brand new one.
Yes.
So is pavers kind of the preferred option nowadays as far as style goes?
It depends on the budget and then also on the look. You know, for that really ultra modern look, nothing beats smooth concrete. And then concrete also comes with some decorative finishes that can make cracks show up a little bit less.
Like what? Like I've seen stamped concrete or
Stamped concrete, my favorite is the brushed aggregate finish. They acid wash the concrete and then come out and finish it again so it has that like pebbly look.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I really love that. It's very artsy looking.
Nice, nice, nice. Okay. For those who can afford it, how does using tile in landscaping add elegance and cooling to the outdoor spaces?
Okay, I love tile. It's amazing. It's cool. It's sleek. It's modern, but also classic. It's natural stone, and that's why it's cooling. It's almost decadent, and it's the real thing. You know, you're using real materials, natural materials. Everything else is really just a cheap substitute for the tile. I like to say, like, anything else that's expensive and sexy, tile can be a little dangerous. And that's because it is slippery, a little more slippery than other surfaces. So you really want to make sure you look at that friction coefficient for each brand or model of tile you look at. And then also use the anti-slip treatment.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's good. Hopefully people have learned something from just that alone. So I know we talked a little bit before about these slopes and challenging terrain. What should they keep in mind regarding cost and challenges making these areas usable, these slopes?
I have been called on so many design consults where I show up and the homeowner waves their hand at like a 7-foot wide planter. You can sit in their living room and reach your hand out the window and practically touch the planter wall, right? And it goes up from like 2 to 4 feet high all the way up 10 feet, 12 feet. If you don't like to garden, I think don't buy a house with a huge slope.
Really? And there's nothing, I mean, I know, gosh, I can't believe I'm saying this word, but I'm reminded of my elementary school. They had ice plant all over this slope. There's not really a great, you really want it to look, make it look its best, you got to be a gardener.
So when you have that slope, any water you do from the top is going to flow right down. So you're going to have to do the irrigation back and forth, which isn't cheap. If anything clogs or stops working, you have to call a gardener. Most people who don't like gardening don't appreciate doing the maintenance either.
Right.
So it can be a pain. I think homeowners or home buyers, they don't buy the homes with the slope expecting to keep the slope. Because when they call me in, they say, I want to get rid of all this dirt and I want to move the wall right up next to my neighbor's wall. And it sounds easy, but dirt is really heavy and it costs a lot to dump it. So that alone is a bigger cost than people expect. They think of it as just dirt. But then also, once you take that dirt out, you've got the wall, you need engineering permits, you build a new retaining wall that's 10 feet high, that's not cheap.
Do you know the price of retaining walls at all?
So for the average, like in your Belinda, I see a lot of homes like this, you're looking at about $80,000 to $100,000 to do what the client wants, which is, you know, reduce that planter, build a new retaining wall, and then be able to drive right into their backyard. That's kind of what they were thinking they could do right when they purchased the home. Another thing that clients forget or don't realize is that once you've exposed this extra space by taking all the dirt out and now you can drive right into your backyard, you have to put something there. So that's going to be concrete or pavers, but you can't just add this random 6-foot wide strip in your backyard. You've got to redo the hardscape in the whole area.
A lot of pre-planning is the best.
Yes, and a lot more expense than people expect, for sure.
Good to know. So Rima, now this is I love this question because I get asked this question a lot about old pools. Remodeling old pools is a common project. When does it make more sense to remodel, and when should a homeowner consider installing a new pool? In fact, it's funny, I get asked this so much. Forgive me, I'm asking the question that I'm going to answer, but I'm going to have you answer it as well. But I know that I pose this to a big, huge group of real estate agents because, you know, they're used to hearing what buyers' responses are, etc. And their overwhelming response was, if the pool accents the backyard, in other words, if you have the pool, you also have a grass area and a patio, then redo the pool, was their advice. If the pool, which I see a lot, in which I grew up in a house like this, took up the entire backyard, I mean, demolished the pool, sorry.
If it's an eyesore, right?
Yeah.
Yes. I think I think shape is the biggest thing. If it looks nice, or even some outdated pool shapes, you can pass them off as cute or different or classic, then you can save yourself so much money by just doing a remodel. But if it's an ugly shape and just looks weird, there's a certain style I like to call like 1970s DIY homeowner.
Like a kidney bean shape or?
Kidney bean is great, but sometimes like I'll see a kidney bean and then like a 4 foot inset for kids to sit in the deep end, right. You know, and it's just like a two teeth missing from a smile.
Well, good description.
Yeah. Just some very interesting, unique things that they're hard to pass off. In which case, I have seen homeowners spend $45,000-$75,000 on a remodel and still end up with an ugly pool.
Do you like pools? Do you work with a lot of pools?
Oh, yes. I love swimming pools. I grew up in Southern California.
And you like designing or helping them use them for your design of the backyard?
Yes.
Well, obviously, if someone wants one.
Absolutely. I will always bring in a swimming pool company because they're the experts, but I love being a consultant on those jobs, and I will usually design the area around the pool.
Oh, very nice. Any tips for pools?
Well, I mean, one thing I think is like when you're deciding what to do in the pool is to check with your realtor about the resale value. Because when families are holding back because of cost, I have been told that it can add a bit.
Yeah, I get people that actually say, no, I want a house without a pool.
Oh, interesting.
So they don't add what they used to. I think, like I mentioned before, if you're maybe the higher end where it's part of the entire backyard where you have a pool, a barbecue, a patio along with a grass area, I think it probably would add value. But just normal, whatever you'd call a normal house, you know, 4-bedroom, 2-bath house, 2,000 square feet, 7,000 square foot lot. Yeah, if someone asked me, should I put a pool in to increase the value, it'd be absolutely not. Because pools are minimum, what, 50,000?
Oh, to have a new pool?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you're looking at least 100,000.
Okay, yeah. And it wouldn't increase that's my kind of point, is that it wouldn't increase a $900,000 house wouldn't become worth $1 million. I mean, unless it was something really, really extravagant, but for the most part. So forgive me, I'll try to let you answer some of these questions.
No, I love that. That's important. That's good. That's good for my clients to know as well. Because I always recommend if you're going to touch it, make it look great. Right. Yeah. If you're going to spend money, so it's for pools, it's the room, it's the pebble finish, the gorgeous lighting, add that Baja shelf. And I do say, well, it might help your resale value later. If it doesn't, then I'm going to say.
Well, those things probably would. I mean, if you, like you just mentioned, if you're going to do a pool, do it right. So, and that's where you come in.
Okay, good.
I mean, and do it. So is Pebble Tech, what's the most popular service?
Oh, that pebble finish. And actually the pebble finish looks a lot like the aggregate concrete that I told you about, where it kind of mimics that look of natural stone.
Yeah, I like that. Now, has it evolved? Because I know years ago, I'm talking about a couple decades ago, that Pebble Tech stuff would just come, it would start falling off. Have they improved that a lot?
Yes, definitely. Okay. Yeah.
Because it's got a great look, but it was that, you know, 20 years ago, that stuff would be falling off after 5 years. And just obviously, that's not a great look.
No.
So what about solar? Adding solar to property can be beneficial for certain needs. How does this tie in the roofing renovations? Or do you do a lot of involve with solar at all?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
If you're going to redo your roof, you should add solar. It's kind of a no-brainer because you can finance it all together. And then I find that most families use enough electricity to warrant going solar, especially with the heat, because you're running your AC all summer. But if they're not, they find a way to rack that electricity usage right up there. Or sorry, to rack their electricity usage up once they have solar.
And what about, I read somewhere about solar roofs. I don't know if Elon's doing us a favor making solar roofs. In other words, they replace their whole roof is a solar. Or maybe, I thought I read that.
I don't think you need that many panels. I would think that it's harder to replace broken panels if your whole roof is solar. I don't think I would do it. My big thing with solar right now, I haven't found a good solar partner yet. And I have tried all the companies that I've come across and reached out and found. More than any other industry in solar, what I'm coming across are salespeople who have zero experience actually doing the labor or being on site. With everything else, concrete, pavers, artificial grass, usually I'm dealing with someone who's actually put the time in and gotten their hands dirty or at least been there with the client and the crew enough to pick up some knowledge. So if you're listening to this,
I have a solar guy for you. I'll introduce you.
Oh, good. Yeah, I've been looking for someone who's a veteran in the field and really knows their stuff.
Yeah, one thing he told me that was kind of surprised me, it was that the you don't need to get solar panels cleaned, which I thought was interesting. I'm pretty sure that's how I heard it. I, I'm Well, I guess that's another show.
I think solar panel cleaning and also air duct cleaning are overrated. That being said, if you've had a dust storm or if the birds are going nuts, you you might want to get it cleaned in. You don't want to go up there yourself.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. You emphasize that the importance of design being planned by professionals rather than salespeople. Can you tell us why is this the case?
Okay, moment of truth. I started out in landscape as one of those sales reps who was just paid a base rate and commission to go out to people's homes. And one of the things my boss kept telling me, I drove him crazy, was keep it simple. Don't offer anything extra. Don't put any ideas in their head. Because, the easier it is for them to install something and the cheaper the materials are, the faster it takes them to finish, the sooner they can move on to the next project and the next profit. So when a sales rep comes, their motivation is to simple as possible and let you deal with the fallout. I wouldn't even quite say it's unethical because that's all you call them to do, right?
Right.
Is to stay within their specialty. During my training period, my boss at the time was with a South OC artificial grass company. And we went to this home and they had those huge planter beds, like 5 foot wide planter bed with a brick border all around the backyard, three sides. And they were filled with rose bushes with huge thorns. And the client was a young mother with two toddler sons. And so, of course, I'm like, you're going to want to get rid of that brick border and you're going to want to take it all the way to the wall because your kids are going to grow up and they're going to run and they're going to run right into those rose bushes. So you want to take those out, too. Like it's I love roses, but they're not the best.
That actually
around.
Happened to me as a kid.
Yeah.
We had I'm serious. First grade, our house had a bunch of roses. And yeah.
If you're not really crazy in love with roses and have to have them there, then there are things you can plant that are softer for little boys to crash into. And my boss was like, I don't want to take out those rose bushes. I don't want to deal with having to dump that brick border. We could just take out the grass exactly where it is and put artificial grass down and let her deal with it. But as a mother and a homeowner, I'm like, no, that would drive me crazy. She's going to regret it in 2 years.
And so. was that kind of your impetus or your cause you to look, I want to get into the design part of this.
So I got that job on purpose because I wanted to. This is my second career. I was in education before that. So I wanted to get paid to learn. And also at my age, I said, I need to start moving.
So because, young, we won't ask you your age, yeah, but go ahead. Like,
by the time I graduate, I'm going to be, a few years behind all my other, or a few years ahead of the fellow graduates, right?
So tell us a story of your most challenging situation, your most challenging landscape design.
So my most challenging project had nothing to do with the grade or the slope or the access. Because I account for all that. It had to do with budget. And it was a client who lived in a $2 million home, but really, really didn't want to spend a lot of money. And she rejected six legitimate contractors that I had brought, my vetted partners, and chose her own. And I didn't manage that part of the project. When I came in at the end for my part, they had put the wall in the wrong place. They had put it 4 feet off and at the wrong angle. So instead of the entry to the backyard feeling very expansive and luxurious, where guests walk in and they're like, oh, wow. It was, you walked in and you felt like you were being herded along this increasingly narrow side entry.
Wow.
It was, I didn't even bring it up to the client. What's the point?
Yeah,
when I showed up, they were already putting the stucco on it.
Oh, that's a shame. So basically the message was, listen to what I tell you. Or, no, use your contractors, too.
Yes, absolutely. I think after a certain age, I'm sorry to keep mentioning age, but after experience, we learn that when you chase the cheapest option, it rarely ends up well.
And it ends up costing you more money oftentimes.
Yes.
Right. All right. So speaking of price, what do you have a range of what's the lowest someone's going to need to spend? I mean, maybe that's not a great question, but I'm sure people are thinking, boy, I would like to hire a landscape designer, but I don't know if I have the money.
If your yard is under 500 square feet, then you can do like a drought tolerant conversion for around 5,000.
Oh, okay.
And that's assuming your irrigation system works or doesn't need replacement. If your yard is closer to 1,000 square feet, then you're going to want to spend at least $8,000 to $10,000. If you use a lot of decorative rock, that can cost a little more. I really recommend mulch because rock also increases the heat.
Mm-hmm.
We've had irrigation hose melt under layers of rock in hot weather.
I just had no idea about this, the heat.
Yeah,
situation.
It also, the rocks will heat up the water in the irrigation pipes. So the plants are getting hot water.
And I'm guessing that's not good for plants.
Which isn't good for them either. Okay. Yeah.
Hey, and speaking of that, so you can even, well, part of your job is determining based on the sun and everything on which plants go where. I guess that's kind of obvious, but correct?
Yes, absolutely. So for some of my clients who are on a budget, and also if I'm not sure about the heat, especially with the white vinyl fences, I will recommend that they do the hardscape or the other installations first and wait to plant. Because you can plant now and then have everything die in the summer or even in the winter. Because in the winter, you can have a like glare in different places, just like you mentioned with your leg.
Right, right, yeah.
Give it a little time. And then also I like to recommend that my clients take dates. Like 99.9% of my clients are married couples. So I'll say, take a date to the nursery.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I like when my clients pick out their own plants and at least have an idea of what colors, textures, shapes they like.
And then they give those to you, and then you say, okay, this is where we need to put them based on the sun and heat and water, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, and then I can supplement their choices and accent them, but it's really their personality that's coming through.
Oh, that's a great service. So are there any innovations in technologies? I mean, gosh, with AI and everything exploding right now in landscaping that homeowners should be aware of?
Technology, it's pretty simple. You know, the timers, and now they have Wi-Fi timers. That's about as cool as it gets.
So how's that work? You mean for the water?
Yes, you can control it with your phone.
Oh.
I think it's really just like a gadget. It's fun.
Yeah, because, you can... Like I mentioned, that gentleman that I met that had his whole yard all tricked out already on computer and measuring the dew and everything. Have you ever done anything like that? That seemed pretty extravagant.
No, I'm very old school. Like, and also I can tell from looking if the plants are drooping and they need more water. Part of the reason I went into this profession after education is gardening was my hobby from teaching because kids droop when they're not getting what they need too, you know. And plants droop the same way, and it's kind of rewarding. And I move plants around in a garden like you would move a disruptive kid around in a classroom. Like,
that makes sense.
Let me try putting them here. Well, maybe over there.
And so we see where the roots take place. And
yes,
become...
and companion planting. So certain plants do better next to other plants. And the same is true for people.
Well, that's why it's great to have someone like you. You know, on that note, you're talking about plants doing good with other plants. Are there plants, I think, that repel insects?
No, not really.
No, not like
citronella is a little bit of a...
Peppermint or something that flies don't like or ants or anything like that? Or
you know what? I do think some herbs repel aphids or like predatory insects. The mosquitoes one, it's really hard to keep mosquitoes away.
Yeah.
The best thing to do is spray yourself. And so they'll still land on you. They just won't think you taste good.
You know, my wife, we've got a couple of zappers in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And they worked unusually well this last year.
So I've done a lot of research on this because I'm outside so much in the yards that I get a lot of mosquito bites if I don't spray. And most of the zappers catch male mosquitoes. And it's the females that bite.
Well, we should have already known that the females are the biters, but
right.
Go ahead.
And it's pregnant females too, right?
Are you serious?
Yeah, they use their blood to feed their babies.
Really? So the most bites you're getting are from pregnant mosquitoes?
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, that's something. There's an extra tidbit for people.
Can I give you guys more mosquito tips?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because
absolutely.
They cause diseases.
Yes.
They're weak flyers. So if you're sitting outside, if you have wind blowing at you, like if you set up a fan or something, then that can cause a current that they find it hard to pass. Hard to put up a current like 360 degrees around you, but if you can direct it in one area and have it move.
I'm thinking a fan at a patio.
Yeah, like a rotating fan, that'll help. And then again, with the sprays, it's very hard to keep them from landing on you. So what the spray does is it makes it distasteful so they don't want to like go through that layer of spray.
Okay. So there is some hope. I like the wind thing. I don't think I had heard that about the breeze or the.
Yeah, they're weak flyers.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. So as we wrap up our discussion, Helen, could you provide our listeners with a few key takeaways or tips enhancing their outdoor spaces and avoiding common landscaping pitfalls? Tell us what your best advice.
My best advice is to get out there and find out what you want first. Don't rely on somebody else to come in and put their vision on your property, because this is your personal retreat. So again, like I said, I recommend that couples go on dates, go to the nursery. I love Thompson's building materials, also resource building materials. I'm over at the one in Stanton all the time. I touch everything.
You touch everything, or you recommend they do? Well, both of you.
Oh, yeah, go. Like, you can feel what it's like with the pavers. They'll be on display without the sealant, so they're going to look a lot more dull, but then they have catalogs that show you what they look like with sealant on them. Yeah, with the tile, you can see all the different kinds of stone. And then with the nurseries, you can pick out your plants and the trees. So that's what I recommend. And in addition, use the space. A lot of times when families call me, they haven't been outside in their backyard for a year while they've been doing the interior and, of course, getting their kids in school and getting ready. And it's kind of a pity because I know it doesn't look great or inviting. But at the same time, when families start using their space, the kids will naturally gravitate towards their favorite area. And mom and dad will kind of set up their chairs where it's easiest and most convenient for them to watch the kids. So when I come and I see this beautiful mess, that is the foundation of the design. I won't say like, hey, your kids have been playing there, let's move them across the yard. I'll say, what can I add to that area to make it even more fun for them? And how can I, make it easier for mom and dad as well? Or like, since that's the kids area, let's give you guys a really good grown-up area over here.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, like I said prior beginning, I wish I would have had you at my house prior to, because there's so much that I'd like to change or like to change. Maybe I will still have you over when we enough to do that. So you had mentioned that a place in Stanton and touching the materials and go out on your date to the nursery. Is there's a place that where you can, do they have more than just plants? Do they have everything? Does that make sense?
So for nurseries, I always recommend you go somewhere close to you, because those plants are relatively acclimated to your climate. And we have microclimates. Riverside is not the same as Laguna Niguel. Laguna Niguel is not going to be the same as South Bay, Torrance. So go to the closest nursery and check out a few. And then for building materials here, if you're an OC, Thompson's is great.
Big shout out for Thompson's.
And I should call them and say, hey.
Yeah, we started to give them a bill.
But there's others, like over in South Bay, Bourget Brothers is great too. There aren't many. Just don't go to, Home Depot, will they hate me?
Well, I mean, why wouldn't you want to go to Home Depot?
Because you can see what they've got online, and it's very standardized. But if you want to see like flavors, personalities, different colors and textures and see them in action, because they really install like sample walls and sample displays, then you've got to go to an actual building supply store.
All right. Well, that makes a lot of sense. So, well, I appreciate you so much for being here. I think this has been really helpful, hopefully, to all the people listening. If anybody wanted to contact you, how would they contact you? What's the best way to reach out to you?
They can visit my website, www.zenmoderndesigns, and that's Z-E-N. They can also reach me on Instagram. On Instagram, I go with the cool young people abbreviation. It's Zenmo Designs.
Venmo.
Like Venmo, like pay me, but with a Z.
All right. And phone number?
And phone number is 626-879-7070. And they can also email me. It's also zenmodesigns@gmail.com.
Well, that's a great name. Well, I thank you so much for coming and doing this with us. I landscape design, obviously, in hindsight, after my backyard was done, I sure wish I would have had you over prior to doing that for multiple reasons. But thank you again for coming. And everybody, if you have any questions, please reach out to her. She's going to be an immense help to you guys. And thanks again for joining us in for another episode of the Jones Zone, and signing off. And if you haven't subscribed, please subscribe and or forward this to your friends. It would be really, really helpful. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Daryl. It was a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks for tuning into The Jones Zone, your resource for building wealth and knowledge in everything real estate. If you found this information and insights shared in today's episode valuable, be sure to head over to iTunes to rate the show, leave a review, and subscribe so that you don't miss another episode. Remember, when it comes to real estate, knowledge is power. Stay informed and stay ahead of the game with us. I'll be back next week with even more expert advice and industry insights. Don't miss it. Thank you.